All right, everybody. I said that I would have a little bit to say on step six, and I actually thought about it this time. So we'll see what happens. Sometimes I think too much about it. Step six for me is a rite of passage. I come to a place of loving myself and accepting my shortcomings on a good day. I finally come to a place where I was wrong, but I am not bad. I am looking at a shortcoming right now because God does that. And I do not like it when I am late. I do not like it when there's 50 people in our meeting space. I do not like it when I feel off base and not in control. And I'm not sure what character defect that is, but I think I'm going to look at it and run it through the steps of step six for me. There are three parts to step six as far as I'm concerned. There's awareness. Ouch, I have that defect. I can see how it affects my life. Acceptance. Okay, acceptance for me is a calm appraisal of reality. I have this character defect. It's part of me. And I accept that it's part of me, and I accept that I am okay, even though I have this character defect. And the third A is action. And action for me in step six is surrender. I surrender my character defects to my higher power. The first few times I did the steps, I kind of gave lip service to step six. In a lot of the instructions in step six, it says, get ready, you're done. And when I did that, I didn't have great results. Then I did step six in a book, in a workbook, and the workbook said, write about what your life would be like without all those defects, without that one by one. And I started writing about what my life would be like, and I started understanding in large part why I was holding on to those defects, and I could really work on the payback. I mean, I could really look at the payback, and over and over and over and over, the payback for my defects were they gave me an illusion of something. They gave me an illusion of control. They gave me an illusion of safety or security. They gave me the illusion of being loved. If only I would please you, if I would do what you want, if I would get into people pleasing, then you would love me. And if you loved me because I was pleasing you in that way, you didn't love me. You were using me and I was letting you use me. So it's awareness, acceptance, and action. Step six and step seven for me are all about humility. And there are three assets without which I cannot work the steps. The first one is humility. The second is humility. And the third is humility. If I've got humility, I've got everything I need to work the 12 steps, but especially step six and seven on humility. I have to have humility when I'm looking at my character defects. If I remember I'm God's kid, which for me is a big part of humility, I'm God's kid. I'm nothing more. I'm nothing less. There's a story in some other recovery literature about a ladder. And when I put everybody on a ladder, it's all about where are you in relationship to me? Are you above me to be feared, or are you below me to be pitied? And it's all about where we all rank and how I can get a little further up on the ladder, maybe by stepping on your foot or your head. But when I think of all of us standing in a circle, I can lose that always comparing myself with others and always trying to get just one step above you. I can stand in the circle and I can be one of many and I can let go of the terminal uniqueness that I have, right? Step six and step seven work obviously really close together like step eight and step nine, so I'll talk a little bit about step seven. Unless I see the goal of that humbly asking, it's really hard for me to let go, to open my hands. And there's a story of step six, and I know Probably some of you have heard it, but there's a little girl who saved all her money to buy some fake pearls. And she wore her fake pearls all the time, and she even wore them to bed. And her dad came up to her every night and read her a story. And about the third night she had the pearls, he asks for her pearls. And she says something like a little kid would say that means, "Hell no, Daddy." And he said, okay, and he read her the book. And the next night he did the same thing. And then she was starting to feel real guilty. She loved her pearls, but she loved her daddy. So finally, on the sixth or seventh night, he asked for the pearls. She took them off from around her neck and held them out to her daddy in an open hand. And he took the pearls, he put them in his pocket, and he reached into his other pocket and took out a strand of real pearls and placed them around her neck. And that's what I do in six and seven. All I do in six is hold open my hand and trust that my higher power is going to either take them away and give me something better or leave them if they're really good for me. I open my hand and I let my higher power decide. I used to see God on a bulldozer in step six, and he was going to bulldoze everything that wasn't right with me, and it scared the bejesus out of me, because how did I know he would know really what to remove or what I was ready to have him remove? And now I see him as an archaeologist, you know, taking the bone or the treasure and just brushing away what was not good. And that's what step six and seven tell me. It's not that I'm going to have something added to me. I'm just going to have something taken away. There's a story in a book about step six and seven called Drop the Rock. And it's about a man who had an old rocking chair, and he loved this rocking chair. He thought it had a lot of potential. But it was broken down, and it had a leg missing or whatever, and the upholstery was shot. And he had it in his attic because he was going to fix it up someday, and all his friends made fun of it, told him to just throw the thing away. And after a long time, he finally went up to the attic, and he dusted it off, and he got a little paint remover, and he found out that there was oak underneath that old paint that was chipped off and worn off. And he fixed the broken rung or whatever it was, and he took it into an upholsterer. And he said, "Hey, how much would it be to reupholster this rocking chair?" And the guy said, "Well, I can reupholster it for you, but before I give you a price, let me tell you, I'd like to pay you $500 for that chair." And all it was about was uncovering and rediscovering what was underneath that all along. And that's what we do in six and seven. We uncover what was always there, you know, by taking away the crap that covered us up, that covered the beauty that was in us up. So that's six and seven. Step six means facing myself, the good and the bad. Why do I have to identify all my shortcomings if God is going to decide what to remove anyway? It doesn't make a lot of sense. But for me, I need to do the footwork. I need to understand some of why I'm holding on to what I'm holding on to. I need to understand some of what makes me tick. I don't need to understand it all. I don't need to get ready to let it all go. But I have to start opening my hand. And to do that, I have to look at particular things. A friend of mine did a step six in a meeting I was in, and she had a bunch of character defects, and I started writing down the ones that really fit for me. There were 11 of the character defects that she named that I have that have been partially removed through the magic grace, whatever you want to call it, of step six and seven. The ones that have been partially removed are obsessive thinking, self-pity, people-pleasing, critical of self and others, perfectionism, judgmental, controlling, negativity. My worth comes from external sources. I'm manipulative, and I compare myself to others, but not as much as I used to. I mean, significantly not as much. The ones that were gone are largely gone. Self loathing has gone away. Not having a voice is essentially gone. Being reactive, essentially gone. Holding resentments, essentially gone. Letting fear hold me back, essentially gone. Self-righteous, gone on most good days. Some bad days too. All or nothing thinking, pretty much gone. Difficulty asking for what I want, pretty much gone. And I keep saying pretty much gone, and it's like, what's the deal here? I'm asking God to remove them, and he's not removing these completely all the time, every day. And, you know, sometimes I have my hand open and then I sneak it closed. And my God, my higher power is a gentleman. He's not going to rip my character defects out of my clenched fist. Sometimes when I get into fear, my character defects come back. Sometimes when I want something really bad, my character defects come back. And I've learned to listen to that voice. When I hear myself say, I gotta have this, like I'm 8 years old and having a temper tantrum, I know I'm in trouble, and I know I can expect to see my character defects show up. A friend of mine compares step six to hanging wallpaper, becoming entirely ready. You pick out the wallpaper. You wash the walls down. I don't know how to do this, but you figure out the plumb line. You get a ladder. You handle everything. You try to get a friend of yours to help lay the wallpaper. If it was years ago, you get the paste, and you try to figure out how to get the paste without getting it all over yourself. And finally, you have everything assembled, and you're entirely ready to hang that wallpaper. In the Step 6 booklet, they talk about the Sistine Chapel. Sistine Chapel is going to be painted, but first you need to get the artist, you need to get the drawing, you need to get the paint, the ladders, the scaffolds. Become entirely ready. That's step six. I heard a speaker that said, if you don't know what your defects are, you get together a few people in your front room and you give them each a legal pad and a pencil. You call in your husband or your wife, your friends, your employers, your employees, you call in your kids, and you say, can you write down what's wrong with me, and they'll do it for you. Other people can see my defects a lot clearer than I can see my defects. I don't get to choose what God is going to remove, but I have to work on my trust so that I can believe that God is only going to remove what I really don't need anymore, what is no longer of service to me and to others. And, you know, sometimes my worst character defects are still being of service to God and to others. I am, you know, I've heard that all men are my teachers. Some teach me what to do, and some teach me what not to do. And I could be the biggest poster child going of why not to try to be controlling. I don't know. I don't know what's good and what's bad. Two Kosas go to a meeting. The first one goes to a great meeting. There's a newcomer with real heart there, and there's some people sharing what's really going on with them. And everything's wonderful, and they leave the meeting full of gratitude. The second one goes to a meeting, and the topic is boring. The shares are long. People go on and on. There's opinionated numbers there, and the COSA leaves the meeting angry and ticked off and wondering why he wasted his time. They both went to the same meeting, and they both got what they came for. I have to change my attitude in step six. I have a sterling silver necklace, and it's tarnished. And I have to remember, I am that sterling silver necklace. And like the story of the rocking chair, there's preciousness in me. And I have to remember that that necklace is precious, even though it's a little tarnished. I have places in me that are tarnished. I have character defects I still have. On a bad day, I have a lot of character defects I still have. I'm still precious. I still have value. I'm God's kid. And when I can love myself regardless of the character defects I see, I'm ahead of the game. I'm ahead of the game. I think the point of step six, if you can look at all this stuff and love yourself and know I am God's kid. Look at me. I am God's kid. That's all I got. We got 9 minutes left.